All right. Hey, hey, hey. What's up, my people? Welcome to Paranormal Ride. We are live. You know, sometimes when you start a show, you know, sometimes things don't go your way. And maybe it helps if you have your mic not on mute. So I'm here trying to get the show rolling, and I'm like, wait, why can't I hear anything? That's why. Hey, so welcome to Paranormal Ride. This is your host, Marlon O. And we have another classic show. One of my favorite topics on paranormal. And it's one of those topics that for me, it's kind of intense. And it really, I don't like it. I don't like it at all. But it's such a fascinating topic. It's demonic possessions. So pretty much, it's all about curse, what happened, where, like, real life stories of demonic possessions and some pretty intense stuff. It is January 19th, 2021, and I keep on thinking it's 2020, but it's a year that never ended. it's gone. For some of it was a great year, others is not so great. Great loss and amazing gains. So if you wanted to call in and listen to the show, or if you want to chat with me directly live on the show, feel free to call 914-205-5434. Again, the numbers 914-205-5434. It is a live show. I am streaming through the internet airwaves, getting to different locations around the world and into your ears. So I'm excited. I'm excited to talk to y'all. If you're interested in asking questions about the topic, you know, this is the show to do so. A lot of the stuff that you hear in Paranormal Ride is all about exploring the unknown, things that you might not have in a normal conversations with your friends. Or if you have friends that do have this conversation, you know, man, you are among the luckiest ones out there. And I think that's one of the main reasons I started doing my show, because I felt like there wasn't a community that was, you know, open to this kind of conversation. And I think a lot of that stuff is, you know, the topics is people think, oh, no, that's crazy talk. You know, that people don't talk about that stuff. People that do, they're completely, you know, off kilter, you know, and that's the thing about the, you know, about this show, is that I have so much fun trying, you know, exploring these topics. I have friends that call me all the time and share their paranormal story, and it's kind of cool because, you know, a lot of times people are like, wait a second, is Marlon gonna think, you know what I'm saying, like I'm weird or something, and, you know, the facts are, no, I'm not gonna think you're weird. If you are weird, cool. I don't mind if you're weird. I love that you're weird. I like weird people. Those are the people that I vibe with the most. So that's, you know, that's one of the cool parts about having a show like this too. I do want to give a shout out to people out there. Shout out to folks that are retweeting me. Shout out to people who are joining the community. So definitely, if you have not heard the show, and this is your first time, welcome to Paranormal Ride. You know, this is the spot to be at when it comes to all things paranormal. And it's not just about ghosts and about demons. It's about all types of paranormal stuff. You know, cryptic creatures like chupacabras, Bigfoot. I talk about everything about spirituality. I talk about faith. I talk about, you know, whole gamut of paranormal stuff. And I think this is what makes the show so much fun, because we're doing things that that people think about and experience all the time. I get people who have really experienced some intense, heavy stuff on the paranormal side, you know. And I think, you know, that's the part that, you know, I think a lot of people, you know, who don't have an outlet to talk about this, they feel kind of isolated and alone. And that's, you know, that the whole show is meant to create a community. So, you know, pretty much the whole, my tagline for the show has always been, you know, is to peel back the veil of a reality and see what we find. And I think we're constantly doing that as people. You know, we're rediscovering new things about ourselves, about our world, and kind of going back to our roots of when we listen to our senses, we listen to our almost unmeasurable intuition, where you don't learn it through a book. You learn it through life experience. You learn it through deeper knowledge of yourself. And it's a very interesting approach to being, just being who you are, to existing. And I think people are more open to this, because I'm telling you now, when I started this show, I think it's been 7 years now, and this is, I think, episode number 79, I believe. Yeah, I think it is. And so it's been a while, but when I started the show, people were like, that's really weird, you know? And it's always been this format where it's like a, think of it like a round table discussion with, you know, thousands of people, of course, but we're not all in the same place. And pretty much we're talking about, you know, things that are not in our history books, not on in our regular kind of conversations. It's one of those that we have almost like universal knowledge about. That's one of the episodes. If you missed it, go check that out. So a quick way to get connected with me is through social media. So I have Instagram, Facebook, fan page. It's all Paranormal Ride. Or just go to our website, paranormalride.com. That connects you to everything. You can send me messages, ask me questions. And, you know, I usually get all these really interesting stuff during the week. Then I kind of have to review it and kind of read it and try to remember all the stuff that you guys send me. But again, you know, super excited about people's questions. This is so much to cover, right? And as I mentioned earlier, this show is a national show, so people are listening international, actually, all over the place. From, let me see if I can read out some other places. Not to brag, it's not just like a problem, you know, but it's just like to let you know how it's a diverse community out there. So we got people from Brazil, we have people from Peru, Colombia, France, the UK, Turkey, South Africa, Australia, Indonesia, India, and Russia. I said Russia really weird. And Turkey. So, yeah, it's all over the place, as you can see. You know, people are tuning in everywhere. So, thank you so much for doing so. So today's topic, like I mentioned, is the demonic possession. It's a really intense topic. It's one of those that I don't like, but I like, kind of think, because it's creepy, confession time, you know, because, you know, it's just between you and me, right? And, you know, no, you're not going to tell anybody else, but I'm not a giant fan of horror movies. They really put me on edge. So when I see movies like The Exorcist, and that's going to be one of the things we talk about, It's something about it. It's too real for me. You know, it's, you know, obviously, you know, you see that film, it's full of movie magic, and I'm a filmmaker too. So I know how it's done. Even though I know how it's done, it still makes me feel uneasy. And that's the interesting part about, you know, successful films and why we become blockbusters. But it's also about the topic and how real it can be. So people say, you know, is demonic possession possible? That can people really get possessed by a demon? And how does that happen? You know, but if you're a skeptic and you're listening to the show and you're saying, listen, these people are just hallucinating, they're, you know, schizophrenic, they just had a bad week. I don't know, whatever your skepticism is, you know, some of the stuff that I've come across, will make you just wonder a little more what's happening here. It's not just, you know, cut and dry and fully answered, you know. My concerns are when I hear about stories, and I'm going to cover this because one of my favorite exorcists that I've researched is Father Malachi. So if you've never heard of Father Malachi, you need to do so. He pretty much led and trained a squadron, a team of priests that would go out there and do exorcism. And I'll talk about him a little more as the show progresses. But, you know, the question is, can a malevolent spirit enter somebody's body and possess it? You know, and once you know, they're possessed, you know, can get it out, you know, and we've seen the movies. So that's the battle, right? So, you know, throughout history, we've heard stories of these creatures, demons, whatever you want to call them, that feed on negative energy and possess those who are open to it, you know, and allowing them to enter their body. So that's what I've heard in my research, is that the demon won't just enter your body. You know, it has to be willingly, you know, accepted. It just doesn't sneak in, you know. You know, you sneeze and doesn't just, like, you know, sneak in the, you know, as you breathe in. It's like you openly allow it, you know. So, you know, the question is how does this happen, you know. How do you prevent it if your intent is not for that to happen? And I don't know if it's just, like, how do you prevent it? I think, you know, you might be more open than you think. That's what I mean about that. You know, when is an exorcism necessary? And I'll talk about how a priest or other people decide when to do an exorcism. That's like the ultimate way to have an evil spirit leave or a demon leave. You know, and there's tons of classic ones. And I mentioned, you know, Father Malachi Martin, you know, and how he did it, you know. But that for me, again, it's like, that's the real stories that I've researched that, and I've actually heard some of Father Malachi's audio archives. And I mean, I don't even know how half of this stuff actually, you know, happened. And he said that, you know, he's had several medical issues, you know, ever since he's been exercising demons, and his health was terrible and declined really fast. And, you know, he attributes that health dip to exorcisms. So anyway, so there you go. You know, that's kind of like the whole entire, you know, premise of the show. So you kind of know what you're in store for. So, you know, if you're getting a little, you know, scared, and, you know, you got a little, you know, turn the lights on, you know, go open the doors, you know, close the closet doors, all that good stuff. It's time to dive deep in here and see what we can find. Hopefully we don't find any demons in there, but if you do, I'm drinking this tea, anise tea. I love anise. If you don't know what that is, shame on you. But if you drink it, it's really good. I usually have something to drink during a show just to, because when you're speaking live on, you know, your throat tends to get a little jacked up. And I think because I'm where I'm broadcasting from is, if you all don't know where I'm broadcasting from, I'm broadcasting from New England, the Boston area. So it's Beantown. If you know about Bostonians, we're rough and tough, and, you know, we get it done, you know, it's city of champions. Well, anyway, so it's really cold in New England, Boston, Massachusetts. And when it's cold, we put on radiators. So people from Colombia that's listening to the show, damn you. But I'm next to a super huge iron radiator. So I feel like I'm being cooked as I broadcast the show. It's so hot in my spot. It's just, I'm melting. But so my throat gets a little dry. Excuse me, I just had to take a little sip because it's happening again. All right, so yeah. So again, like for me, doing these shows has been so much fun. Definitely, you know, I actually got to give a shout out really quickly because I have some people out there who are listening, but specifically wanted to give a shout out to Jessie because she is one of the hosts of one of the Paranormal Ride radio shows, and she's doing her shows every Wednesday. So I want to let people know who are listening for the first time. If you haven't had a chance to listen to Jesse, go, you know, you have to listen to her. It's on Mondays at 8 o'clock. It's also in a young world. And I think the last episode she had was Souls in Power Spiritual Warfare, I believe. And again, very motivational, very inspirational. If you want to kick off your week with some, you know, some pep, listen to Jess. So if you want some pep, listen to Jess. It kind of rhymes. No, I'm not a poet. I can't rhyme like that. I'm sorry. I just, I have a silver tongue, so I can say a lot of things and make people do things, but I can't rhyme. Sorry. That's one of the parts that I, when I was like in line in heaven, they were like, you know something, maybe we'll skip the rhyming part for you, but we'll give you this. And so I just looked at them with a blank stare. I was like, damn, you know, do more like that. Heaven. But anyway, so and shout outs to you know, all my old souls out there in the young world, because I think I'm an old soul. It's definitely, I don't know. See, it's, you know, I have to think about this, because like I think I've been old. I'm gonna make it into an adjective, old souling. Yeah, old souling for a while. And and I don't know if this world is that young. I think for me, I guess it is young, but I've been old, you know, I've been doing this for quite a bit. So if I wonder how old my soul is. I wonder if it's like thousands of years ago, thousands of years, I mean, or it could be like maybe like 90, it could be one of those old young souls. I don't know. Anyway, so let's get hopping on this show. Again, Paranormal Ride. It's all about the paranormal, covering tons of topics. I will be traveling around the U.S. this year, filming as well. So I will be coming to your town pretty soon, doing different topics on what's happening regionally. And one of the first areas I'm going to be filming at is in Bridgewater, and that's Massachusetts. So all my Massachusettsians, if you're out there and you want to be part of the show, and I actually put out a release about this, and the amount of people that hit me up within that hour was, I don't even know what I'm going to do with all these people. I might have like a gang follow me, right, through the woods and all stuff. But anyway, so the Bridgewater paranormal show that I'm going to be doing, part of Paranormal Ride, is considered one of the most the most paranormal locations in the New England area, in the U.S. There's, in fact, it's so paranormal that they're going to create FX, which is a TV channel. They're going to do a series. FX is doing a series on the Bridgewater Triangle. So it's coming up pretty soon. I don't know if they're filming already, but it's basically how crazy it is there, ranging from UFOs to ghosts to everything's there. It's, you know, you have Bigfoot running around there. It's pretty, pretty paranormal. And it's like well documented how paranormal it is. So that's the interesting part about it, because I've been living in New England for majority of my life, and I didn't really hear about this until maybe like 8-7 years ago. And when I did hear about it, I was like, what the heck? What the? Like, yo, there's UFOs and like that. And I did my research, and I don't know if I like that because it's so close to me. But you know something? One of the things about paranormal locations like that is that they tend to be located in woods. And, you know, I can see where they can hide. You know, if they were trying to get us, I don't know why I said get us, like they're out there like trying to like sneak out there. But a lot of this paranormal stuff is kind of in the open, which I find, you know, pretty fascinating. So if I'm going to be posting where I'm going to be going usually a week in advance. And if you are in that neighborhood, I would love to have you join. Be part of the paranormal crew. And again, it's a fun live show, and I'm not responsible if you get, you know, possessed by some, you know, ghost or something. That's on you. Just got to bring your crystals with you, I guess, right? All right, so let's get on this demonic possession stuff. Yeah, here we go. So what is a demonic possession, right? So it's pretty much the belief that an individual can be, their body can be taken over by a malevolent being, you know, or devils or demons, whatever you want to call them, you know, and the possessions, you know, is done willfully, from what I understand, is considered like a regular possession. Not that, you know, hey, I drank this, you know, tea, and next thing you know, Satan was inside me. I don't know. It doesn't work that way. You know what I'm saying? It's, you know, or I had a bagel and, oh, whoops, there was a demon in there. Like, no, it's like, there is like a process where you are going down a path, that you allow. And I guess if you, people want to call them demons or whatever, or just say bad energy, or, you know, just things that have this really negativity that is thick, that, and, you know, people don't want to call it a demon. They want to call it, you know, just bad energy, you know. But anyways, whatever you want to call it, it you know, it's like a willful act that allows it. But in this case, I it's more of a entity, you know, a thing that, so I'm going to have to define what a demon is. So basically, it all types of religions all across the world, in Hinduism, Judaism, Christianity, all types of religions have this malevolent kind of creature. But in, you know, it's interesting, in the Bible they were seen as, you know, creations of God, but in the Christianity it was more seen as fallen angels converted to, you know, follow, you know, Lucifer, Satan. But anyway, so it's like, this is more of like a being that could enter a body and possess it and take it over and pretty much, you know, corrupt it mentally, physically, psychologically, you know, in some of the ways that the demon is manifested. And you can see that, you know, the person acts in a, you know, exaggerated emotional way, you know, where you know, they'll have like really, you know, what do you call it? You know, the behavior is really inappropriate. The language is vulgar. I mean, these are some of the things that have been reported. You know, that maybe there's a possession of a demon that has like awesome manners, you know what I'm saying, which is please, thank you, and F you at the same time. Yeah, I don't know. But I, from what I understand, that's kind of what happens. And also, the people who've been possessed, they're known to speak languages that they've never ever spoken before. So, you know, and you know, they also discover unknown secrets about people. And that's the part that I find fascinating. You know, it's like, so this demon will be able to say, yo, you know, like, you know, you know, your uncle was a drunk, you know what I'm saying? And how would that person have ever met your uncle who passed away like like 15 years ago? And, you know, he was an strange uncle that, you know, your family talked about, and the person knew that it was drunk, but you knew about that stuff. So anyway, like stuff like that, you know, they utter blasphemous stuff, you know, things about against your religion and your belief systems and, you know, your deities that you believe in, you know? So it's like, you know, a lot of this stuff, you know, is kind of like the tale, you know, telltale signs of a possession. And, you know, the thing about it is that, does that make the person, you know, possessed? Some people just can be jerks, you know, but the description of demonic possession, you know, often includes, you know, the person's personality, being, you know, randomly, like almost like, I don't know, random, word, but it's not, they're not themselves anymore. Who they were, it seems like a blank shell of who they actually were. They, you know, they found convulsions, seizure type behaviors, you know, fainting, stuff like that. I find it very fascinating. Oh, also the other part too is that they have a drastic change in vocal, tone. And facial kind of expressions, and then they can also appear to have scratches on them or bite marks or lesions, and even have superhuman strength, you know. And all these descriptions are coming from exorcist documented research that is out there that people who've been possessed have all these elements have been documented during a possession and exorcism as well. There's also a lot of channeling of almost like rhythmic kind of like I want to say body language, like a dance almost. I just find it really fascinating, you know, how your body can and your mind can be possessed in this way. Now the question is, do I believe it's happening, or do I believe that it's like a psychological issue that somebody might be having? It could be an episode, like a mental illness or something. I feel like there's a lot of that, you know. I feel like there's tons of that, and I think people might be mistaking that for like demonic possessions. And I've seen some videos, it's pretty intense. But we'll get into that in a couple of minutes. I'm gonna jump into a quick just to let you guys kind of digest what I just said, because it was a lot. It's a little serious. The topic is a little intense because of the things that can happen. People are like, yeah, I can never be possessed. But the stories I've heard, you know, it can happen to anybody. And unknowingly, you're kind of allowing these negative energies to enter. So what is the price for that, you know? So again, you know, it makes me feel a little bit uneasy to know that's actually happening. And if it is happening, I just don't want people to go through that. That for me, that's kind of, it's so sad. Because I can't even imagine the pain and suffering that might go along with that, you know. But anyway, so, you know, thanks for, you know, kind of like checking in with me real quick. And I'm going to go into a quick break and let you guys kind of roam around, do your thing. And then when I get back to it, we're going to listen to Hotel California. I play this a lot because I love the song. But, it, you know, people say that it's a song about a ghost. Other people say it's about drinks. I think it's okay if it's both. All right, y'all. We'll be back.
Thank you. said, we are all just prisoners here of our own device. And in the master's chambers, they gathered for the feast. They stab it with their steely knives, but they just can't.
Normal Ride. We are back. This is your host, Marlon O, bottom of the hour. Thank you for tuning in. We are talking about demonic possessions and the craziness that goes with it. 914-205-5434 is the way to get in contact with us live. If you want to speak or you just want to listen to the show, you want to just send me messages. I've been getting the texts all freaking show, and it's people are freaked out about this. ParanormalRide.com is the best way to check out all our social media stuff. I'm on Twitter, Facebook, and Facebook. Yeah, and Instagram. Yeah, everything. We're all in there. All in there to win it. All right, so we were talking about, in top of the hour, about kind of what has been going on with, like, demonic possessions and how people can potentially get possessed, you know, like being open to it, having those, like, you know, just having openness to that type of, I don't know if I want to say, opportunity, because it's not opportunity, but to that kind of energy, right? But these are some of the things that happen if you have been possessed. So keep a lookout on this, have a checklist, check it twice, right? So if a demonic invasion of somebody's body, these are the things that people look for. Loss of or lack of appetite, cutting, scratching, and biting of skin, a cold feeling in the room, and that's very evident of ghosts when you're doing investigations, especially with, you know, kind of ghost hunting. That's what's been reported a lot, is like a breeze or cold air in this space. This wouldn't be any different. And I think the reason for that is, I think people have said when you feel cool breeze, it's because energy is being sucked out of the environment. It's leaving like a void. So I find so many explanations that, you know, some a shift in the dimension that's causing these, like, cold, you know, just like breezes. That's the way people have been explaining it, but I'm not sure. So unnatural body movements and postures, so, you know, that some of it changes the even the face. The person, so like they have a new, like their face just looks different, right? You know, they're possessed, losing control of normal personalities, and then to entering into like a frenzy, a rage, or attacking others, changing the person's voice. They're completely different. Like it's just, you know, high pitch, low pitch, like a gargle kind of like voice thing. Pretty intense stuff. They have super like natural physical strength. You know, even if the person, you know, for the person's build or age. So, you know, there've been cases where during some exorcism, a woman like threw several men across the room, and, you know, I'm talking about, you know, somebody who was actually rather small and aged. So like that kind of stuff, speaking and understanding languages, which they have never learned before. Also unknown languages, speaking in tongue, knowledge of things that are distant or hidden or unknown about the person who's with them, predictions of future events, you know, kind of premonitions, levitating or moving objects and things, expelling of objects or things. So just things coming out of their body. Let's just call it the bodily fluids. That's just the polite way to say it, I guess, right? Intense hatred and violence towards all religion, religious objects and items. You know, speaking about positive figures in religions also causes, like saying Jesus' name, stuff like that, and or hearing scriptures just puts them in a rage. So, I mean, those are the things that have been reported and how they've gone on. But I'm going to give you a story of actual demonic possession. It's a famous one, actually. People research this over and over, and actually has created some like real laws that affect people. So, born in 1952 West Germany, the person is named Annelise Michelle. And, you know, pretty much Annelise has had, throughout her lifetime, a history of mental illness and suffered from epilepsies. In 1973, at the age of 20, her symptoms took a turn for the worst, and she grew depressed and acted aggressive. She rejected all religious iconologies, spoke of demonic visions, heard voices damning her to hell. So Annelise's parents were convinced that she was possessed. So as a skeptic myself, there's a lot of like, you know, red alerts, red flags kind of like flying right now. But remember, this was in 1973, right? So, you know, having all these things, you know, they then got in contact with Joseph Stang, a Catholic bishop, who authorized an exorcism of the young woman. So about nearly 70 rituals were performed between 1975 to 1976. That's a lot. Ultimately leading to her death, which was crazy. An autopsy report concluded that Annelise died of malnutrition and dehydration as a direct result of the exorcisms. So there was a highly publicized trial about Annelise's parents and those Catholic officials responsible, and they were convicted for manslaughter and sentenced to 6 months in jail. What a mess. The infamous case inspired the courtroom horror, The Exorcism of Emily Rose, and that's a film that came out in 2005. So as you can see, when something like that goes wrong, like that's like the classic case why exorcisms are taken seriously. And during 1975, it was really irresponsible of those folks who did that and what they did to this poor person. I mean, it's just so sad and insane to even think that this actually happened to somebody. But that's, I would say, is the classic case of what not to do and how a demonic possession is, you know, how it can make skeptics really feel like this is a bunch of BS, you know? And I feel, you know, that, you know, stuff like this is really sad because, you know, that person really probably suffered from some, you know, like they said, they knew that she had some, you know, she had some mental illness and that was like completely the wrong approach. And that's where the story of Father Malachi comes in. And I find his story super, super interesting because Father Malachi, his approach was completely different. Father Malachi Martin, he looked at it in a very like practical way. And one of the things that he was actually a part of a Vatican training team in Rome, that their job was to specifically train people how to diagnose and treat people with an exorcism. It's just like a team right now, a priest that's all they do. They go all around the world and they do exorcisms, but it's not just like an exorcism that they walk in, like you just saw about this young lady who died. It was never like that. It was pretty much, you know, their job was to do research on the person and see if they qualified for it. Because after all this craziness that happened in 1975 and 1976, it put everybody into this like whoa, like this can never happen again. So pretty much Father Malachi's job was to train people. And one of the first things he did was he would work with therapists, psychiatrists, and people in the mental health industry to, before they do anything that has to remotely think that's an exorcism, they would do like a psychological evaluation of the person. You know, with the first part of it is they're thinking, you know, something, it could be that they have mental issues, that's what's causing these, you know, supposed possessions, you know, and they worked really, really hard to get that, you know, to get that out of the way. And once that happened, they then moved on to diagnosing and finding out what's really happening. And some of the stuff that he wrote in his book, and it's shared, and it's in the archives in the Vatican and stuff like that, you can go ahead and do some research yourself, pretty intense stuff. But he spoke about a story of setting up an exorcism, and there was this woman who was possessed. And they had to restrain her in this room. And as she was restrained in the room, you know, it was the priest and one assistant. And during that time, you know, during that exorcism, he reported her levitating in the room, speaking tongues, having supernatural strength, where she would just, you know, she threw the assistant, like all these really intense kind of, you know, like stuff, speaking in tongues and stuff like that. And like things that for the Father Malachi, that he looked at it in a very practical way, in a very like, you know, like very therapeutic way versus like a spiritual way. And, you know, one of the things that he talked about after going through these exorcism, he said that his health would always decline. He would have tons of heart issues and problems, and pretty much was, you know, convinced that doing the exorcism was pretty much killing him. So he had to stop doing it. And once he stopped doing it, he still had continuous health issues. But there's if you YouTube it, there's a really awesome video documentary. Actually, you know something? I'm going to post it on a social media right now. So if you wanted to listen to Father Malachi and kind of what he, you know, I'm not going to go into all the stories, but I just found it fascinating that there's an actual group that covers this kind of stuff. So if you have Facebook, go ahead. If you don't, Twitter, you know, go to Twitter and check this out. It's pretty amazing. And let me see, I'm just posted right now so I don't forget. Boom, done. Posting it. Father Malachi is there. And I'm also going to put it on Twitter as well. But anyways, so, you know, as you can see, like, there is, like, a thing out there that's trying to combat, you know, this whole entire, like, demonic possession thing. So, you know, people have done it incorrectly and other people have done it, you know, the right way. I saw this video and this, I think it was from Indonesia. There was this possession happening and there was this like priest or a shaman that was in the community, and he was doing an exorcism, and it was pretty intense where he would shake the person and like almost like fight the person, you know, and then they would battle the person until the demon was, you know, like thrown out. And I found that kind of it was worrisome to see. But after they were done, the possession stopped. And I don't know. It's for me, that's up in the air. I kind of like the ones that have the research kind of like behind it and kind of there's some empathy behind it. But to be honest, there's been a lot of documented possessions, you know, over the years. And I just find it, you know, super fascinating that it's actually is happening. So, you know, with that said, you know, we're wrapping up the show. I know that I gave you some little bit tidbits about it. I wanted you all to kind of have a taste for what this was about and kind of you could do your own research. And this is what the show is mostly about, is I want people to go in here and listen and then make up their own minds. I'm not here to like convince you and tell you that this is what it is. You know, it's up to you pretty much to make up your mind on what you feel is the right or correct way to approach, you know. So, but again, you know, it's just, you know, this storytelling part that we do in the show is to make you kind of more aware and not be, you know, just like let people tell you what's happening. You got to do your own research. So I put the video up, make up for, you know, just make your own decisions on what you think this is all about. But once you listen to the story about Father Malachi's, you know, and the possessions and the stories behind it, they're pretty intense. And I, you know, it's like a battle between, you know, good and evil or negative or positive energy. And I think we're all in a very similar struggle where we let a lot of our, you know, traumas take over and allow really negative things. You know, I was once told that, you know, I'm comfortable with my demons. That's a very ugly, for me, in my opinion, perspective, where, you know, living with those things, it's not going to help you grow. It's going to just really leave you stuck in a plane of existence that is constantly abusive and mentally abusive. It's like you have to conquer them. You have to move past them. You have to, you know, grow past what brought you to those low points and proceed. And that's what I meant about, you know, being open to these things where, in my interpretation, what I've heard is that, you know, you accept it and you're like, you know, I'm with these, like, you know, again, you know, I'm saying demons, but you can easily just say negative energy, negativity, you know, energy of vampires, whatever you want to call these things, right? That gets you to that point of being lost, you know, lost. You've heard the, you know, lost souls and stuff like that, you know, and you know, that kind of stuff, you know, is what kind of gets you there, and brings you down. You can never get out of it. You know, it's like a constant, like, you know, heavy weight on your shoulders that you carry from relationship to friendships to personal goals that you just, you know, you're carrying gigantic baggage, you know, and maybe that's the equivalent of having a demonic times. Worth of carrying with us, and you know, and almost us to our this world and people. You know, you take people for granted, you treat people negatively, you just, you know, it's like one of those, it's just impersonal. It's like you know, people are expendable. It's like really bad, you know, kind of like approach to life, because that's not what it is. That's not what we are. You know, all of us, you know, our interactions matter in ways that, you know, can be denied if you are kind of living with those demons, you know, that you just like, you know what I'm saying? It's like people, you know, can be like, you know, expendable. And that's what leads you to a lot of the traumas, you know? So very interesting. You know, my perspective is mostly that when it comes to demon possessions. I don't know how I feel about an actual entity entering somebody's body, but according to these stories, and go check out all the Malachi stuff I just posted, it's possible. It's happened, you know, and it's real. You know, even if I haven't experienced or haven't seen it, somebody out there has, and it's happening consistently, and people don't even, you know, acknowledge it or don't really understand what's happening. Recently saw this really intense, scary video that was very poltergeisty, in essence, where the spirit was like throwing things and being very violent. Even, you know, I just recently had this interview with a listener, or you know, a writer actually, sorry, and that told me some interesting story. And you know, I've heard very similar things where, you know, there's been some manifestations of energy that move things around that's very poltergeisty, and that concerns me because, you know, it's like they say demons, they say like these creatures are manifested and they've never been alive, they've never been a spirit, they've never been anything but energy that was manifested by the person's existence or by themselves, you know, by their negativity, by they created this creature and it's inhuman. And that's where these stories of like shadow people come. This is where these stories of like inhumane hauntings come about. Like, and that's, you know, when I think about these demonic possessions, that's kind of what's it. Oh, you know, there's a cool movie called Constantine, and one of my favorite actors, Keanu Reeves, comes on in it. Go check that out. It's a movie about exorcisms, and it's like the battle between, you know, like demons and exorcists in trying to keep humans from being overran by these things. But it's a dope story. Go check it out. But there you go, folks. That's the show. I hope you enjoyed it. I had a lot of fun doing this. You know, it makes me, you know, just like think twice sometimes. I'm like, damn, you know, have I manifested something by just speaking about it? Could be. Hope not. But again, you know, I had a lot of fun doing this show. It's I get a lot of reactions from it because of the word like demonic. People have, you know, they feel a certain kind of way about this stuff because it's scary. It's kind of like it's like you don't utter these words because it could manifest into something, you know. And you know if you really, you know, are into this, then I can see why. I also to mention, if I don't do it, I people are gonna call me for this, but call me on this. But sometimes demonic or demons have been known, you know, are people say that they're aliens or you know people, the stories about UFOs, they're actually like demonic creatures, and I feel like that's also very interesting, where you know you have the same characteristics of these like, you know, like creature-like things that abduct people, harm people, put, you know, people say UFOs and aliens are the modern version of whatchamacallit, of demons. And that's very interesting because like the sci-fi version of what demons were, that story. And could it be that demons are masking themselves as aliens just to, you know, to catch up with our modern times? I don't know. You know, the other one too that I didn't cover, and I think I'll do a show about this, is incubuses and succubuses. So if you haven't heard about them, it's pretty much demons getting freaky with you. And that's interesting as well. You know, the incubus and the succubus thing is like you unwillingly are being, molested or sexually taken advantage of by a demon, you know, and that's also another part that has been documented too. I actually recently had a conversation with somebody who said that's happening to them, and trust me, this person is not into any of this stuff. And I was like, oh, I'm gonna do a show about you know, possession. There was like, you know, there's something about incubus and succubus I mentioned, and their jaw just dropped. And they were like, what? Like, that's a thing? And I was like, yeah. He's like, okay, don't tell this to anybody, but that's been happening to me. And I'm like, oh, I'm like, you got to come in the show. And they were like, no way. So if you don't know, if you've never heard of an incubus, but an incubus is a demon male that's you know, having, you know, intercourse or sexually interactions with a female. So that's an incubus, and the succubus is the female version. And very, very interesting. And people have ranged it, you know, from, you know, it being like a sexual fantasy. Other people have said that it's, a dream state. And the person who I spoke to, they were pretty adamant, and they were like, nah, this is like, you know, something is doing this to me. And I'm not going to go too much into it, but they were getting pretty, you know, graphic about it. And I found it fascinating that this is what was happening. It's like real, like sexual, like stuff. And it's unwanted. And that's the part about the incubus and succubus, that it's like an intrusion. It's like, you know, it's really scary. And, you know, they have to, there's the person, the way they got out of it is that they decided to say in a prayer, and then it stopped. Like they were just, they said they were awake, and they could feel this thing on them. They couldn't see it, but they could feel it. And as soon as they said a prayer, it just stopped completely, and they were just like back to normal. Interesting, huh? So anyways, there you go. I hope it doesn't scare you completely into like a frenzy, and not wanting to go to bed now. But if not, you know, hopefully you can do your own research, find out what's going on, and see for yourself what's popping with this. But so thank you again. Ending the show now. Thank you so much for tuning in, listening to me, sending me messages and asking me questions. A lot of the questions you ask are based on what, you know, on my show. I use it a lot. So thank you. You know, all that interaction does make the show more, exciting. And like I said, just join us on every Wednesday, 8 o'clock on Paranormal Ride. You can just go to our website and check us out. Listen to the show. It's rebroadcast. And it's just like, you know, just listen in when you car ride or you're doing some artwork or cooking or going to bed. Maybe not to bed, but, you know, if the story's like this, maybe you don't want to hear it. But it's like I said, this is not like a horror show. This is a lot of the stuff that I talk about in my shows. They're like real life things. They're not like things that, you know, somebody told me, you know, that I read in the blog. This is like real stuff, real stories. And that's what I love about the show, because they're out there. So do your thing, folks. All right, have a safe week. This is the middle of the week, and it's, you know, I like to do the show to re-energize you, refocus you, think about what you want to get done and get it done. And don't be afraid to make mistakes. Don't be afraid of the no word. If you're afraid of the no word, that's what's going to keep you back and not progress anytime or anywhere. And failure is an amazing thing. So go out there and find out what's going on and take it. All right, folks, have an awesome week. We will see you next week with more Paranormal Ride. And don't forget to tune in to Jesse's show. It's also The Young World. And, enjoy it on Mondays. Again, welcome to Paranormal Ride, folks who first time listening. And we will see you next week. So be good out there. Be safe. And see y'all.